Couple of verses in Hebrews, and then we're going to go to the book of Genesis. Hebrews chapter number 11. We want to read verse number 5 and then verse number 7. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and ask you to help us to be an able minister of the word. Ask you to, Father, just open up our hearts, open up our minds, and help us to speak and help us to receive your word, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought of victory over death. Victory over death. It's not a subject that we like to talk about a lot, but it's inevitable in life. It comes. It's part of our life. It touches all of our lives, and we see it. We've heard requests even this morning of those that's, just bereaved families. Just keep them in your prayers and pray. But we've read a couple of verses here in Hebrews chapter 7 talking about, it just gives us here in what is known as the faith chapter. And we've got two names, Enoch and Noah. Enoch and Noah. And it tells us of them that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's victory over death. That's victory over death. Verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What did he save them from? Saved them from death. What happened to everybody else that wasn't in the ark? They died. They died. And so, what we see here in these two is an illustration in both Enoch and in Noah's case of victories over death. Now, Enoch was translated before the flood. And it tells us and shows us he was a type of those that God will gather when he comes back for his church that will not see death. But Noah, amen, he went through the flood, but amen, he was saved from death because, amen, he was safe and secure in the ark. I want us to turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Read some verses in Genesis chapter 5 and chapter 6. But it tells us there, the first thing I want us to just know and understand, and we know this, like I said, we don't like to communicate, talk about a lot, but the surety of death. The surety of death. It tells us in Genesis chapter 5, and we read just two or three verses, and you'll get the idea of what they all say. It says in verse number 5, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." In verse number 8, it says, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." In verse number 11, "And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died." Now, they lived a long time. Amen. And I can just go ahead and tell you, when they was 100, they didn't feel like we would feel at 100. Amen. They still had strength and vigor, and amen, and things were different. But listen, no matter the time frame for them, it said, you know, all of these lived to be over 900 years old, but the final thing of their life is this: they died. They died. They died. God told Adam and Eve, said, "Don't partake of that fruit, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die." Death. And death entered into the world. And so we see the surety of death. And death, it comes early in life. Many times it comes way too early. We estimate, well, we've seen the tragedies that's taken place just here in the last few days, and how that many that were young, many that hadn't even made it to be a teenager yet, were taken from this life, and we'd say all too soon, but it comes and we see it, it's sure. And it takes those sometimes that are young in life, sometimes it takes those that are right in the prime of their life. Everything seems to be going their way, and they're in the prime of life and not expecting anything, and all of a sudden, amen, they're gone. The lady was telling me a story, a gentleman I met just a few months back, how that he had been planning for his mother's birthday, and I think maybe her 80th birthday, I'm not sure the day, but he'd been planning it ever since her last birthday. They'd been planning for a year. And they tried to keep it from her. And I had heard him talk about it when I was around him at different times, different people, about how many folks was going to be there and all this, and what they were going to do and all this. And so he made all these plans and everything. And about 6 days before the birthday party, they found him dead in his house. He died. Unexpected. Nobody would expect, but they found him. I mean, his mother had found out about the party, and they asked what, and she said, "We're going to go on with it." Unexpected. It comes. Death comes. We've heard. You've heard. The phone has rung, or you've heard some news, and somebody said, "So-and-so, brother, sister, so-and-so, they passed," and we thought, "What?" But it's sure, it's certain. It comes. And amen, then it comes in old age. Amen, it comes. As we get older, you know, it comes. I read just this week that a feller told his wife, he said, well, honey, he said, "I'm 55 years old. He said, I'm middle age." She said, "How many people you know it's 110? I mean, I tell you what, I can't think of nobody right off the top of my head that's 110. There's probably somebody out there that is, but I can't think of none of them. Boy, she was really encouraging, wasn't she? But see, here's what the thing was. Here's what she knew. The surety of death, it comes. It comes in old age, but this, it comes. But see, it does not just come, but it tells us back in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 9, we read this about death in verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed once to die. Death comes. But after this, what happens? He says, the judgment. Judgment comes. And we see in this life a lot of times, and we think, boy, they got away with that. Well, nobody gonna get away with anything. Judgment comes. And so death is certain. It's certain. But amen, but there is a secret. There is a secret to victory. And amen, we sang about it this morning, several different songs. Boy, you could would point you in that direction. And we see that in the book of Genesis in chapter number 5. In verse number 22, it says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now the secret of victory we see here with Enoch, and it's also because it says of Noah as well that both of them, you know what they did? They walked with God. They walked with God. Enoch believed God. Amen. The Bible tells us, how can two walk together except they agree? And amen. And it wasn't God who was agreeing with Enoch. Amen. It was Enoch who was agreeing with God. He knew God was right. And amen, he was walking with God. So he believed God. Not only believed God, he walked with God. Amen. But he had fellowship with God. I mean, that's what we do. We get, as two walk together, as they walk together, they had fellowship together. Amen. And so these are the secrets of victory. He believed God. He had faith. Well, see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But guess what? Amen. He had, what testimony did Enoch have? He had this testimony that before he was translated, that he pleased God. How did he do that? Well, amen, he just believed God. He trusted God. He read the Word of God that he had, and he read and he believed, and everything that God said he believed and he trusted, and he walked with God. For 365 years, he walked with God. He had a relationship with God. And God help us, because this, we have relationships with different people in life. There's relationships. Well, that's what Christianity is. It is a relationship. And Enoch had a relationship with God. And it was a close relationship. He walked with God. He trusted God. And so he walked with God. And guess what he did? The Bible says that one day, he was walking with God. And as he walked along whatever road that he was on, whatever path, amen, whatever place that he was in, amen, his walk took an upward turn. And he didn't die. The Bible said he was translated. He just walked and he was going on there, and he took a step, and the next step he took, he was in glory. No death. He didn't die. The secret was this, that he had faith. He walked with God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And amen, he was translated. So, amen, we see that he walked with God and he had victory over death. But when we see, when we get to the book of Genesis in chapter number 6, we see the grossness of the sin of mankind. In Genesis chapter 6, it begins to tell us all of the different things and how that, what God looked upon this earth and what God saw. And he saw that the wickedness and the evil of mankind. He saw in verses 1 and 2 and in verse number 4 as well, it spoke It says in verse 2 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Unholy unions. It matters who we marry. It matters who we have relationship with, who our friends are, who we hang around and associate with. It matters. But he saw these unholy unions. He saw in verse number 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of their thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He saw the vices that man was doing. He saw the vile thoughts that man had. And we see that today. We live in it. We live in that world. It also, in verse number 11, it talks about the violence that was filled the earth. Violence that filled the earth. That's our world even today. Violence fills the earth. We hear about, every day, we hear about some kind of violence that we just shake our heads at. Why? Because the evil and the wickedness of mankind. It says in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God set up a time. He said he wasn't always going to plead with man. That would be a time frame. And in this case, the Bible said of Noah, what he was? He was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for 120 years. But it was to the saving of his house. Because who else got on board? Nobody. They were too busy eating and drinking and giving in marriage and having them a big old time. Amen. Participating in all the things of this life. And God said, I'm not only going to strive, there's going to be a time and it's going to be cut off. And so we see this, and this was the picture in Noah's day. It looks like the picture of our day. Amen. And so we see the sinfulness of men, and therefore, because of sin, judgment must come. And we read previously that, that judgment is coming. But we also see the serenity, the peace, the calmness in faith. Because it says here in chapter 6 and verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah was sincere and upright. He walked with God. It says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What did Noah do? He believed God. He had faith. Well, that's what it tells us. Where do we find him? We read the verse in Hebrews 11 and 7. And why is he there? Because God gave commandment and he believed God. God says, here's what you need to do to the saving of your house and your family. And he believed God and he built an ark. God's told us that I've given you my son. He said, if you want salvation, you must believe him. Amen. You need to be in Christ. He is our place of safety, our place of rescue. He's what brings peace. So Noah, he was sincere and he was upright. He had faith. He believed God. And it tells us of him, just as it did of Enoch, that he walked with God. Listen in verse number 22 there of chapter 6. It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Everything that God said, he did. As God commanded, that's what he did. And Noah, had peace with God. It says in verse number 18 of chapter 6, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Where are you going to get to come? Where are you going to be able to get in the ark? When everybody else on the outside is dying. Noah, you're going to be living. You're going to be in the ark of safety. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And he said, you're going to come in. He said, I'm going to close the door. And they've been, I'm going to close the door up and death is going to be all around you. But it's not going to be able to get to where you are. Amen. What a thought that is. When we're in Christ, we live in a world that is death is surrounds us. We see it. But amen, we recognize that in Christ we have victory over death. Because we have been shut up in Christ. Amen. God has closed the door. And while death may be all around and we may walk through physical death, if God tarries, we will. But amen, but it can't touch us, who we are. Amen, it can touch this old body. But amen, that's just part of who. Because in reality, you know, I love the little illustration that the little girl went to wake her daddy up and he just laid there with his eyes closed, you know. And she walked up to him and she bent down over him and she opened up one of his eyes and she looked into his eyes and she said, "Wake up, daddy, I know you in there." You know, and that's the way it is with us. Listen, these bodies, we recognize people, but we're in here. You ever been camping in a tent? I mean, you stay in that tent, but it ain't home. Amen. It's just tent. I mean, and I tell you what, when I was a young feller, we used to go camping in a tent on the river. I remember the first time I ever went, Daddy found a sandbar. It had one big old willow tree right in the middle of it. And he got up there and he chopped around on that thing and got it so he could set that tent far back up under he could because the evening sun, you know, it would hit and from on after lunch it'd start putting some shade on the tent so we could get in there and we could go to sleep and sleep. And I tell you what, as a boy and right on up through my teenage years, I could get in that tent and I was good to go. Didn't bother me a bit. I mean, boy, the thought of getting to go camping, we loved it. You know, we got a little bit older and we still go, but it wasn't quite as, you know, I mean, there's some things that we missed about home. You know, then me and Pam, we got a little old. I remember one last time, maybe the last time we stayed in a tent was down at St. Andrew. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all just hang on. We stayed in a tent and we was all there. I mean, some of them had campers and a couple of, we was in a tent. And the youngins, Scotty's boys and Nicholas, they was in a tent for a little while till it flooded them out. Boy, it rained, it poured, water got in the tent, they had a mess, and then the wind started blowing. And buddy, when I say it was in October, you know how them fronts will come through? We was on that water and that wind blowing. I had a tarp over our tent and that tent, but buddy, that tent was, it was beating. Boy, I was sleeping like a baby. My wife wasn't sleeping so well, though. And the long story is of this, when that night ended, because it ended with us finishing up the night in the cab of the truck, she said, "I ain't never staying in a tent again." And we hadn't yet. But here's my point. Boy, when I was a boy, it didn't bother me. No, boy, we was excited as we could be. We're going to go pitch a tent and we're going to stay for a day or a week. It didn't matter. Boy, I thought about this old body that I live in. You know what the Bible, it calls it, it's just our tent. It's just our tabernacle. And you know what? A lot of times when we're young, we're in the prime of life, we don't think too much about it. We just go and, boy, we can do things and we don't give a whole lot of thought to folding up the tent. But the older we get and we hit that middle age, wherever it's at, And then we hit retirement age and we get up a little bit older. We recognize that living in this old tent ain't like nothing like it used to be. Boy, it don't work like it used to be. Things about this tent just ain't like they used to be when I was a young man or young woman. But we get to thinking about this one of these days. We gonna get to fold up the tent, because guess what? We going home. Amen. We can be like my wife said about that tent. She said, I ain't never staying in one again. One of these days, we're going to say that we're never going to stay in that kind of tent again, because we've got victory over death. Amen. And we're going to fold this old tent up and we're going home. Amen. That's what Enoch did. Amen. He walked in one day and he just walked right on home. Noah, amen, in the midst of all the death, he was alive. God had shut him up to life in the midst of death. And he didn't have to worry, amen, about death, because it could not get to him. Boy, they painted that blood on the doorpost and on top. Death angel come by that night. And all the firstborn where the blood wasn't applied, you know what happened? Amen, they began to die. But you know how many died where the blood was applied? Zero. None. That's victory over death. What did it? The blood. Amen. Applying the blood of Christ. And so, amen, Noah had peace with God. But then we notice here, because we see we've mentioned about the surety of death and that judgment will come, and the victory, the secret to victory, amen, for both Noah and Enoch was faith. And we see the sinfulness of man, the surety of death and judgment, but the scope of that judgment. Because see, here's the themes that I recognize in life. Most folks think that there's a judgment that's coming, you know. But that don't include me. I mean, they can see how this one or this one or this one needs to be, you know, God needs to get on to them, but they're okay. They're okay. But is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what God says? God said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to be in Christ. It tells us here about the scope of the judgment in chapter 6 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. In verse number 17, he tells us, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall. The scope of judgment is that nobody escapes. We're either in the ark of safety. We either have been covered by the blood, and Christ has been judged for our sins. He's already, either He's paid the price, or one day we'll pay the price. But all, what did they do? It said all died. And so the only way to escape death is by faith, is to walk with God. We may escape death if God comes, and we may be like Enoch. We might just get translated. But amen, we may have to go through physical death, but amen, it can't touch our soul, who we are. The Bible tells us this in closing this morning in Romans chapter 6, in verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it tells us. And then in Romans 6 and 23, it said, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As you stand this morning, victory over death is obtained by faith in Christ. And we begin to walk with God, and we enter into a relationship with God. And amen, He saves us. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Enoch, Noah, both show us a picture of victory over death. God still gives us the victory over death. Amen. This morning, if you're not in Christ Jesus, if you're not in that ark of safety, amen, you can be if you'll call upon Him. While we wait just a minute, if you want to come and pray, if you have a need this morning, we want to give you an opportunity to come and we'll pray with you while we wait. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you have a need, come this morning.